Welcome to the Digicom Cafe, located at the intersection of faith and technology. We hope you enjoy our cafe experience where we cater to your digital and spiritual appetites, in an effort to make this world a better and kinder place, one story at a time. Please stand by as we get ready to launch this episode of Radio on the Rocks. You are about to listen to a Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast that occurred on April 13, 2019 in the Digicom Cafe Multimode Communications Network. With host Denny J and his guest Andrew Lawrence of Voice Flow, a brand new voice technology company headquartered in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Welcome everybody to the Digicom Cafe and our Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast. Today we've got a great guest representing a very interesting organization and company. Our guest is Andrew Lawrence, who is Director of Operations at VoiceFlow, headquartered in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And I've gotten to talk to Andrew a couple of times, seeing as I'm a user of this platform for building my Amazon skills, and have had a couple issues with the software because this is brand new, really being developed, and as anything with software, you run into glitches from time to time. They've been very helpful and very responsive to getting these things fixed, and I have four successful skills in the Amazon store now and very excited about this platform. So, Andrew, welcome to the Digicom Cafe.
Thanks for having me, Denny.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So currently I work on operations here at VoiceFlow. So I went to school for computer science, graduated a couple years ago. I worked as a developer for a bit, but I ended up running my own healthcare company in the health tech space. We kind of worked on collaboration software for, you know, teams inside hospitals. And then, you know, eventually I found my co-founders for VoiceFlow, and we started working on VoiceFlow.
So did you guys go to school together?
So I went to school with Brayden. I knew him back in school. And then I ended up meeting my other co-founders, Michael and Tyler, through an entrepreneurship like initiative organization called Next Canada. And then, you know, we just started working on a bunch of projects together, and one of the projects ended up being VoiceFlow. So that's how we got to where we are today.
And VoiceFlow started out as something different in the beginning, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, well, first we went through a few different products, but eventually when we landed on Alexa, which was about a year ago now, we were working on a storytelling platform. You can think of it like Netflix or maybe like Audible. But just for specifically choose-your-own-adventure stories for children. So we were building our own stories in-house, and we were putting them out to these kids. And what we ended up doing was putting out the stories was great, and, you know, the skill did really well. It had, like, a really good following and got a lot of great ratings. But we found that one of our bottlenecks was actually putting the stories out quick enough, right? We put out like maybe one a week, but we needed to find a way to like speed this up. So what we did was we built out this tool that we could use internally. Basically, it let you put blocks on a screen, and then you connect these blocks, and we could put in our, you know, our content, either our writing or our voice acting, you know, files. And based on how the flow works on the tool, that's how the story would go. So that was doing really well. The skill was doing really well as well. But we decided, why don't we put this tool out to our parents' community? Because our bottleneck was putting out the content quick enough, right? So, you know, the parents group, they got a chance to make these stories. A couple of them did really well. But what ended up becoming like a recurring theme was people wanted to make apps, right? So we decided, why don't we let them build apps? You know, as soon as we made that switch, we found that there was just way more people wanted to build apps. People were building like much more useful and cool things. So we decided, why don't we, maybe this is what we should be doing. So after like probably a couple months of just switching the internal tool to an external tool that anyone can use, VoiceFlow was born. So from about April to October, November, we were working on StoryFlow. And then November on, we switched to VoiceFlow.
And I'm sure, as in some of the experiences that I read about on some of your earlier projects, when you release something to the public, sometimes your servers get overloaded and it all crashes. Did you find it overwhelming, the response that you initially got? inviting people to be a part of the Voiceful platform? Did you run into any server issues with that many new people?
There's definitely growing pains, just like with any other startup. There's been a couple times where we've had these problems, but I feel like we've been pretty quick to address them. Right now, we brought on people who are kind of professionals at this, so I think that this risk is going to be pretty minimized moving forward.
But of course, everybody has their concerns about security, and they're all listening to us, and they're really kind of shy and kind of afraid of getting involved in these things. I've heard it many times from people I know that, I'd never have one of these devices in my home. They listen to everything you say. What are your thoughts about that, your feelings about this voice technology? Is it something we should be afraid of?
Privacy is definitely one of the bigger issues right now in technology. I mean, this is not an issue that we kind of, this is not an issue that's come up, this year, right? This is kind of like it's been boiling up for the past 10 years. I don't think that it's something to be scared of. I think that cautious optimism is the best way to go about it. So right now, there's a huge push towards making sure that we can kind of control our data. And like as we move forward, things are getting better and better. But there's this tricky balance, right? We want increasingly better tech. And to do that, the companies need more and more of our data. But at the same time, we don't want all of our data to be owned by someone else, right? So as we move forward, I think the best, I think where these companies are going to go is they're going to continue doing what they've done recently, where they take all this data, but they make sure that it's not personally identifiable. I think that's typically the key here, to make sure that they have your data and they have a profile about things that people like you like, but there's no way for them to trace it back to Danny Johnson. This is especially with Alexa, privacy comes up quite a bit. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that for the first time, it's like all in your face. In your bedroom or in your living room, you have this device, right, with a glowing blue light, glowing red light, and you're very cognizant that you're being listened to. But any mobile device for the past 5 years with Siri or Google Home or Google Assistant has been doing the exact same thing, right? Listens for Hey Siri and Hey Google. I think there's definitely a long way to go in terms of how companies kind of talk about how they handle your data, but I think it's definitely heading in the right direction.
It's interesting that we're having this interview today. Last night on the national news, there was a feature story about this very topic on Amazon, Alexa, and how they listen to what you're saying, and people are afraid of having their personal space invaded and the privacy issues. One of the interesting things they commented on was even if they listen to a crime happening, they can't do anything with that data. They're bound by law that they cannot deal with it. They can't try and track anybody down and make sure someone's prosecuted for that. I thought that was kind of interesting. But I like the idea that they can't identify it with you as an individual. So I think that does kind of alleviate some concerns that people might have. So your platform, Voiceflow, is basically a outgrowth of a tool that you guys made for your other skill called Storyflow. And I noticed I actually enabled that skill today to check it out and see what you guys had started with. And I noticed that the voice that comes back to you and responds to you is not the typical Alexa voice or any other digital voice. It actually was a real voice.
Yeah, exactly. So early on, we kind of realized that to make really engaging stories, we could have gone with the Alexa voice, but we thought it would be a nice touch to have, voice actors make these voice acted stories, because at the time we were a content company, right? We weren't necessarily focused on building the cool technology. So we thought that, really good content needs really good voice acting. So that added a good touch to our skill, and I think that's part of the reason why a lot of people liked it. But I think that as voice technology gets better and better, and as these voices start sounding more human-like and more expressive, the need for voice actors will decrease over time. The big problem with voice assistants today is they're kind of monotone, right? There's ways to make them expressive and make things quieter or louder, or make them speak faster or more human-like. But I think it'll get more natural for sure by itself as time goes on.
Well, if you've listened to any of my podcasts, that woman's voice in the beginning and end of my Cafe Cast is all a voice, digital voice that I get on the internet. I type in what I want her to say and she speaks it in a very real human sounding voice, I think. But I know you guys have built into your tool the ability to actually record a small segment of voice from a real person, and also to link streaming audio from a larger file to do your stories and things. And that's what really attracted me to your platform, because what we do here in our amateur radio community is obviously all about voice. We use the power of voice to communicate on a global scale. And I like to use any of these voice technologies to help our community. And so I've taken advantage of your platform where we've got using the typing in of the text you want Alexa to speak, or the myriads of other voices that are available. And also to take live audio files from recorded things and stream them. And your platform works so well for that. I just love it. Now, I know that you guys have provided this great platform. For me, it's been free. It's free to probably the bulk of the people using your platform now. And I always think, how in the world is this going to continue on? It's costing you guys a lot of money. You've got a growing team and staff there that are handling this and growing this and building it and fixing it and servicing people. How do you monetize this?
So most of our monetization is going to come from business use cases, right? We want to make sure that there's always a free tier so that any hobbyist or anyone who's just playing around and wants to learn about Alexa has the opportunity to do it. So, you know, by doing that, we let them make their own apps, but they can also kind of fall in love with our tool and give us feedback, which just makes our product better and better, right? What we're going to end up doing as time goes on is we're going to be a very team-centric tool. So how we're going to make money is businesses are going to use this as a team. So like a lot of businesses right now have, you know, voice division. So they'll have like a voice user interface designer, and then that person will be working with a bunch of other designers, developers, and so on. So we'll be charging per seat. So if you have a five-person team, you'll be charged per seat so that everyone can work on one project. The nice thing about that is that anyone can build whatever they want for free, and they have access to basically all the functionality. So a lot of people can come on and get a lot of value without actually having to pay anything.
So that way an individual could actually have his own business building skills for other people he knows, whether it's businesses or nonprofits or whatever, and it wouldn't cost him anything to use your platform. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's something that we're really passionate about, actually, is letting people who maybe they have a good idea, maybe they're a creative, or maybe there's something else who, you know, they're not a developer, just letting them build their own businesses, which we think is super cool.
And you've referred to a community. I know that you've got a lot of plans and things you want to add to this platform, and it seems to be a very community-centric platform. What is your roadmap for the future in terms of features?
So I touched on this a bit earlier, but collaboration is a big thing for us right now, because right now it's a very powerful tool, but you're kind of siloed in, right? If someone else wants to work on your project, you have to like log on to another person's account or something similar like that. Making it a team-centric tool where, let's say, five or six people can work on one project is going to add a lot of value for a lot of people to be able to move quicker and to be able to like get a bunch of people's inputs. Maybe you have a developer on your team to hit an API on your own back end, and maybe you have a designer. So this is going to allow the team to really work together seamlessly, right? Another big thing that we want to do is we don't have a full name for it, but internally we're calling it Marketplace right now. People are going to be able to build their functionality on VoiceFlow and then upload it to this repository of just other functionality, right? So when you are a new user or you are starting a new project, you'll come on and there'll be a whole bunch of things already built for you, a whole bunch of functionality. So you don't need to build everything from scratch every single time. So let's say you're a pizza store owner or any kind of small business owner, maybe you don't want to build a payment processing system all over again because 100,000 people have already built these things, right? So you'll just be able to take advantage of our huge community who's always, you know, always super helpful with things, who have already built these things for you.
Oh, that'd be really cool. Sure would make things easier for all of us. What is the typical user using your platform? Is it just mostly just hobbyists and people trying to learn and play around with it like myself?
We've got users across the board. We do have a whole lot of hobbyists who are super, super helpful to us. But we have a bunch of professional UI designers as well, right? So a lot of these people, they either work in like a voice department at a large company, or they're a UI designer and they work on their own, and their business is building voice apps. So a lot of our users they're either employees at these big companies and their teams will use it, or it's the big company themselves. So, you know, we have a bunch of customers like the American Cancer Society. We have like MIT Media Labs using us as well. And then there's a couple of big agencies. Like one of them is the biggest voice app agency, and one of them is an agency that makes promotional skills for movies.
That's very interesting. Now, speaking of movies, you guys have got quite a library of instructional videos on YouTube that really walk you through the whole process of how to build the skill and how to use each of these blocks, as you call them, to teach you all the functionality of the parts that are there and walk you through how to use it and how to build a skill. So why don't you just run through a real simple overview of what is involved in using your platform.
So let's say a user comes on for the first time. They're greeted with a website, right? It's pretty clean. You'll see a menu of blocks on the side, and the blocks are just pieces of functionality, right? So each block just does a different thing. Some of them will make Alexa speak, some of them will make Alexa listen or Google, and some of them will do more advanced things. If you want to build a basic app, all you have to do is drag in a speak block, maybe a couple choice blocks, and then just fill in whatever text you want, and then you hit upload to Alexa. So you'll have a fully working Alexa app, and you don't have to deal with hosting, you don't have to deal with any of the coding or anything like that. It's just testable for you, and you can submit that to Amazon. If you want to build something more complex, though, there's a whole bunch of blocks on the side, which you can kind of, you know, learn about through the tutorial videos. And we want to make it really easy for people to, you know, iterate on good UX user experience for voice apps and build some really powerful stuff.
Well, I sure have had a lot of fun building some of my skills. I've got three of them for amateur radio. My first one was called Ham Buffet, and it provides all the information you need to know about what the Digicom Cafe is all about. We are a multi-mode digital communications network. We have multiple digital platforms. We call it a network of networks. And so you think of the paradigm of a cafe. You come in, what's the first thing you do? You're greeted by somebody. They take you to your table. They ask if you want to see the menu. Our menu is the list of different digital communication modes and explanations of how you can use that and where you can connect, node numbers, etc. Plus, it also leads you through an explanation of what the cafe is all about, our vision, our mission, our purpose, and then brings you to a place where you can listen to a live audio feed of the digital communications in the system. I've also got one called Cafe on Ice, which is another live streaming audio with the cafe ambiance, with the sounds of the cafe low in the background. We've got a partnership with Branson Radio, and they've got their live stream in our skill, so people can listen to Branson Radio and all the happenings here in our area in the Ozarks of Northwest Arkansas and Southern Missouri while they're waiting for digital communications on a global scale. And we've also got our cafe cast called Radio on the Rocks, and that can be accessed too. People can listen to all of these cafe casts, including our interview right here. That should be up here this afternoon, this evening yet. So your platform in particular make it very easy to put together something like this. And we are so appreciative of having this, and so glad that you guys are diligently working hard to improve it and make it better all the time. And I want to thank you, Andrew, for being willing to be our guest here at the Cafe Cast, and hope that we can help build your business.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really happy you're having a good time with the tool. It's really nice to hear you know, these user stories about people enjoying it and actually building, you know, their own businesses on it.
Well, we look forward to talking to you in the future. I'm sure if we keep doing more things and run into problems, you're always there to help, and we appreciate you and the whole team. If you'd give them all our thanks and appreciation, and we look forward to seeing you grow and explode and do some great things with all of this voice technology. Keep up the great work.
Thanks a lot, Danny.
You bet, Andrew. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this Radio on the Rocks Cafe cast. Visit our website at digicomcafe.com to see our extensive digital buffet menu and listen to all of the live conversations on our Cafe on Ice stream. Or this and many more episodes of our Cafe cast.